Our scripture reading for today is from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 20. Last time we focused on verses 1 and 2, and then on verses 10 through 12. We focused there on the purpose of parables, and why the Lord Jesus Christ preached with parables. Actually began a little bit different of a phase in his ministry of teaching at this time. But this time we're going to focus on the parable of the sower itself, in verses 3 through 9, and then how it's explained in verses 13 through 20. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some seed fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and their sins be forgiven them.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Today we are looking actually at a very interesting passage of scripture, and one that's very helpful for us in interpreting the scriptures. And that is because here the Lord Jesus Christ gives us his own commentary on one of his parables. Right behind me are a whole number of books. Many of them actually are commentaries. They're commentaries written by different authors and pastors and teachers of the past, and they can be helpful to throw some light on passages of the scriptures, to teach us some different things. We can read these different sermons and thoughts, and we call that a commentary, and sometimes those commentaries can even be, though, confusing, or we might disagree with them. But here we're going to look at a passage in a parable that has a commentary by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what a privilege that is for us to have, because it helps us to interpret this parable and all the parables. You see, we looked at last time at that theme of veiling and unveiling, or parables actually being cloudy and obscure and hard to understand for one part of the Lord Jesus audience. And even the disciples, by the way, they came to the Lord Jesus later and they asked for explanations to this parable. So it shows that this was veiled, this was hidden to the audience of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least a large part of the audience. And then the Lord Jesus, by teaching here, he unveils to his disciples the truth of this parable. He makes it very crystal clear to them. That reminds us that the Lord Jesus, he preached again to mixed crowds. There were poor and the needy and the Gentiles. Then there were the proud, there were the humble, there were the sinners and the Pharisees. scribes, fishermen, farmers, all different kinds in front of him, and also different spiritual conditions. There were those that were there to criticize the Lord Jesus Christ, to ignore his word one way or another, even to reject it, and who would not keep it in their hearts. And then there were others that the word would grow in their hearts, it would bear fruit, and they would come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're looking at the parable of the sower. We're going to look at the four different grounds that seed is sown on in the parable. First, there is the wayside or the road, the roadway. Then there's the stony ground. Then there is the thorny ground. And then finally, there is the good ground. But first, before we get to the ground, we get the first explanation in verse 14. The sower sows the word. Even before that, it's actually interesting. In verse 3, the Lord Jesus, when he spoke this parable, said, "Listen, behold." Two words to grab attention. Listen, behold. Listen and look. Think about this. This is something that's supposed to be thought-provoking. It's a parable. And here we have the Lord Jesus' own thoughts on it. The sower sows the word. And so we have a picture here of what happens, a metaphor, a comparison. Remember, we talked about that last week, a comparison between a farmer going out and sowing seed in his fields. And in those times, the sower would actually literally broadcast his seed. They would have a section of field, a section of ground, and they would have a bag of seed, and they would broadcast it. So they would throw it out broadly all over the ground. And picture that farmer, he's walking along his field, and they would usually go in a swinging motion, and they would cast seed out over the ground. And the comparison is that that's like a preacher. The sower sows the word of God. That's what the Lord Jesus had been doing already to date. And as we looked at last week, John the Baptist and other preachers, the disciples themselves would soon follow in this way. And the main message that they preached, Mark 1 verse 15, was repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was a call to repent, to confess your sin, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to need the Savior, and to come and be healed by him. It was good news for sinners. And so now the Savior has gone about sowing the word, and here's the picture. It's no coincidence that he begins here with this parable that shows what has been happening. Not everybody who hears a sermon, and we certainly know this even today, not everybody who hears the gospel repents and believes in it. Some just casually brush it away and walk off. Some think about it for a short time, perhaps. Some may even attend church for a while. Others stick around and they become a Christian and they grow and they bear fruit. And that's the picture here. And it should make us think as we get into this. Here the word is being sown. It is sown to you week after week after week. What do you do with it? What kind of ground does it fall on? The sower sows the word. It's a privilege to receive the word of God. Will you come and listen to the word of God and think about it? Will it go down deep within you, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul? Or will it just be superficial? Well, that's the main theme of this parable. But now we work through this first group. As it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Here the picture is this sower, his field is somewhere alongside a road, a path. And that path or road is hard-packed. People have been walking on it. It's certainly way too hard for a seed to go down into the earth, to take root and bear fruit. And what happens is the birds of the air come along and they see that seed and immediately they come and they eat it. It doesn't go down into the ground. It's certainly not plowed under. It's just eaten by some birds. And what is the picture of this? Well, the Lord Jesus says, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. There are some people who are just on the edge of the church. Perhaps they're on the fringes, or they're on the fringe of an outdoor service somewhere, or maybe they work in a workplace and somebody's evangelized them. shared the gospel with them. Or maybe they're just on the fringes of the church in the sense of that they have family members that go, and they have family that are in the crowd, and they hear the message of God's word, but they never made their way closer to the center, closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were just on the edge. And very easily, the birds of the air pick up the seed. Its picture is Satan comes immediately. There's no thought put into it. These are not seekers. They're not people with any depth of heart. They're just passersby. They're on the fringes. And Satan has his way with them and with their hearts. These are people who do not think. In our day, sadly, this is all too common. Not thinking, not taking things to heart. People just want to be amused. Literally, amuse means to not think. They want their entertainment. They're distracted by other things, pride or sin. They just don't listen. The reality is, there are very likely, often, people this superficial that sit in churches for a time. Maybe they come because they're dragged there by a spouse or family, or show up for a service here or there out of curiosity, and they're just on the edges. And maybe they listen to a sermon, but very, very quickly they're distracted, and right away, soon after, it's taken away. It's something to think about, that some of this could even happen to Christians. This certainly does not seem to be the picture of a Christian. This may be a picture of what you were like earlier in your life, but if you think about it, think of all the things that can distract you immediately after a sermon. The wrong conversation after church. A child that makes us frustrated. Some noises. Satan comes in different ways, and he preys on our emotions and our frustrations and even our desires. And so easily, the good word that you've heard can be taken away. So this picture can apply somewhat also to Christians, how easy it is that the birds of the air came and devoured. Satan immediately takes away the word. Now, ultimately, this is a picture of those who are in great spiritual danger. They're so distracted that right away, the word just doesn't go in their hearts. Let's pray that if people come under the word of God in our church, that this would not be what happens to them, that they would not be distracted by other words or other thoughts or various distractions. And so that's the first group, the very superficial group. It never goes, and even the seed here, by the way, it never germinates at all. It never springs up at all. It's simply taken away. It's momentary. Then verse 5. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. And the Lord Jesus explains that in verse 16 and following. And here we have this picture of stony ground. There's a lot of stony ground around here in this area where we live, isn't there? Old fields in northern Ontario that have even been given up on. It's amazing how many times you can be walking through the bush, and even the back bush. You can be walking along through some very stony and rocky ground, and you can come across an old fence line. And that old fence line from 40, 50 years ago with all the trees grown up around it. You even trip over it sometimes because it's under all the leaves on the ground. Well, that's because the land was rocky. It was too difficult to farm. Or people perhaps just gave up too early, but one way or another, they felt they could not compete or that that land was not all that useful, and so they gave up on it. It was not great ground. Perhaps they could have used it for grazing or something else, but in the end, there are people here who are like that stony ground. The Lord Jesus says, verse 16, interesting, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. So this is ground where there's some soil. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Verse 5, there's some reception of the word of God here. People hear good news. And they like to hear it, the good news of sins being forgiven. And maybe they spring up for a time, and they come to church for a time, and they have an emotional response, and even maybe a thoughtful response for a short time to the Word of God. but they have no root in themselves. Sadly, we've probably all seen this a few times. People maybe go to a different church. They come to church, and for a short time, they're the ones at the Bible studies and at the prayer meetings, which is a wonderful thing, but all of a sudden, they prove there was no depth to it. It was a bit of a high, it was an emotional change, and they spring up, but they have no root in themselves. And the picture the Lord Jesus gives is they only endure for a time. The sun comes up, and that seed is scorched. And actually, the little plant that has grown up, because it had no root, it withered away. In the Middle East, of course, they have a dry season and a rainy season. And the picture is if the roots don't go down deep enough, then that plant will never get the moisture that it needs. And so it won't grow beyond a certain height before it's simply baked and killed. And the Lord Jesus, he speaks of the sun in verse 17 as tribulation or persecution. Tribulation or persecution. The heat of the sun, which dries out spiritual life here, pictured first as tribulation. Tribulation is a little bit of a broader word for trouble or for trial. And some tribulation comes up, some trouble comes up, especially for the word's sake. Probably this person realizes if they're going to follow Jesus, they'll have to give up some things. And their life gets a little bit harder as they've become a Christian and now they're called to leave behind certain sins or there's certain costs to being a believer. And so the tribulation comes and the difficulty comes of having to give up certain things and they begin to lose and so they give up. And then an even stronger word in a sense, or not a stronger word, tribulation can be quite strong. But persecution is more specific, we'll call it. Not so much strong, but specific. Now they get grief for the word of God. Somebody in their family, perhaps, begins to bother them or to treat them poorly because they've begun to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they're treated badly for their beliefs and for their faith. And they immediately stumble. That's a picture of spiritually falling down. And so this is a picture of somebody who's been walking with God, it appears, for a time. Now they wither, they dry out, or they stumble. There's no more life left in them. They're done with it. And so we see that it's very possible that there's these people who come for a period to the church, who grow, it seems, for a time, who even have tokens of spiritual life. It seems that they're enjoying the blessings of the work of the Holy Spirit. They're enthusiastic for a time. And then trouble comes. Negative trials. That's the picture here. Bad things start to happen and they fall away. And there's still people, sadly, that fall away from the church. We believe in the preservation of the saints, that God preserves his true people. We also understand at the same time with that there are people who are not truly God's people, people who do not stick with the Lord God, and so they prove that they were never with him. Well, next we have another group, and the other group is sort of a comparative group, interesting, similar to this other group. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And then you go to verse 18 for the commentary of the Lord Jesus. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now you can notice that this group's very comparable to the last group. Both the seed on the stony ground and the seed among the thorns grow up for a short time. Then both face challenges. That first group on the stony ground, they face the challenges of hardship, of persecution and tribulation. This group actually kind of has the opposite and equal challenge. And this group, for the recent generations of the church, this symbolizes very much the challenges we have had to face, many of us in growing up. A very good life around us. And there's a certain competition here. Now here, it's interesting, the soil is good. There's a depth of soil here. It's just that there's thorns growing in it as well. There's weeds. And so there's hope for life. And perhaps the word likely here goes even a little deeper at first than the last group. Maybe this is like a covenant child, a child who grows up in the church under the preaching of God's word. But then there's this competition with spiritual life, the cares of this world, the cares of this world. That's just making a living, surviving, getting along in this world, the cares of this world. And so the desire to get ahead, but then also the cares of this world in terms of struggling perhaps with something like sickness or bitterness or some hardship, though the hardship was more in the last section. But here it is, life happens and the cares of life happen. And somebody's going along trying to survive and trying to thrive. And that just begins to take over the spiritual life they were having. Difficulties, but also just trying to make it. Then, notice next, the deceitfulness of riches. Verse 19, the deceitfulness of riches. They have too much. The Pharisees, it says in Luke 16, verse 14, were lovers of money. They were very religious people, but their love for money and for advancement and for success, this is not well known, but Pharisees often tended to be from the merchant class. They were very well-off people, people that were getting ahead. And they could have begun with some of the work of the Word of God and even some conviction of sin early in their life and learning things about the Bible. But then the deceitfulness of riches picks up on them and actually, as it were, begins to choke out any spiritual life they have. Notice that it's the deceitfulness of riches. See, the problem with riches is they seem to solve so many problems. And if you're rich, you're not hungry. If you're rich, you can get medical treatment. If you're rich, you can have comfort. You can have a nice comfortable chair. You can have a warm house. So many problems seem to be solved by being wealthy, but not the one thing needful. Riches do not give you spiritual life. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then later Jesus says, with God all things are possible. It's possible for rich people to be saved, undoubtedly. Quite a few have been. But we have to understand that riches are deceitful. They distract and they confuse and they choke out spiritual life all too easily. And it may be a blessing, in fact, not to be too rich and to struggle along for a time. It teaches us to pray. The deceitfulness of riches. Watch out for that. Be careful with that. Then there's the desires for other things. Covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Apostle Paul writes, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, covetousness is idolatry. The desire for other things enters in. People get discontent with the Word of God. They get discontent with the Church of Jesus Christ. They begin to move on. And so that seed becomes unfruitful. It yields no crop. It gets choked out. The interesting thing is it still, at this point, perhaps seems to be there. Maybe there's still a plant there, but it's not yielding any crop. There's no fruit. There's no fruit of the Spirit. And it's interesting that when you see these two middle grounds of the parable, the middle grounds, the stony ground, and then the thorny ground, they show two sides of the different temptations that pull people away from the Word of God. The suffering side especially, the difficulty side, and then having too much on the other side, both equal and opposite dangers. And here we are, almost on the fulcrum, on the balancing point, it seems, doesn't it, of the two. We've been through a time of much prosperity and blessing. Now we seem to be headed for a time of tribulation or persecution, and the call of the gospel is, stick with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that His word would go down deep into your heart. Think about it. Meditate on it. Be like this next category of people, the good ground, Verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Interesting. Here we have, finally, the seed that's fallen on the field, the good ground. These are those, verse 20, who hear the word and accept it. They bear fruit. The contrast here is that there's depth of soil, and probably even prepared soil here, by the way. They did plow fields in those days. They did turn over earth. They did know how to do that, and they even fertilized. And so here you have seed that goes down deep, and it grows roots, and then it springs up. There's something good and healthy in the Christian life when there's a period of going down deep into the Word of God at the beginning. A period of loving the Word of God, a period of desiring to read the Bible, to grow out of it, to hear the preaching of God's Word, an interest in it, being a disciple, being like those who gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed goes down deep, and there's a new produce, a new desire and a new attitude. And that actually starts with hearing. The next verse, 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the Lord Jesus explains the parable further. Luke 8, verse 15, he says, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, a noble and good heart. There's an initial honesty in their hearts. Honesty that we are sinners, that we need the grace of God, and desire for his mercy and his grace. And then they keep and bear fruit with patience. So these are people who keep the word of God in their heart. They start to think about it. They hear the word. They accept it. They bear fruits worthy of repentance. They're sorry for their sin. They begin to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like these disciples, you see this inner circle of those who are gathering right into the Lord Jesus. They want to come close to him. Believer, that's what you do as well. You come not just to church, not just to stand on the fringes. You come in to come close to Jesus. And when you pray, you come near to him. And when you read his word for yourself, you come near to him. And that's the picture here. These people, first the seed goes down deep in their hearts. And then they begin to bear fruit because they've started with the seed. You see, the picture of the seed is the word. It's the word of God. It's the new life that comes by regeneration, by being born again. You see, the word is sowed, and then the Holy Spirit begins to work. There's that conviction of sin, and then the word gives new life. And there's a real growth, and we need to understand that there is something of two levels here. There's the level of justification, regeneration. Even below that, the picture of the seed growing even under the ground, the real new life in that deep, good ground, which can be compared, by the way, to the church of Jesus Christ and being right at the center of the church and deep into the church. And then there's the picture of the growing above ground that comes next and the fruit bearing especially. And if there's a real root and there's real spiritual change in somebody, then there begins to be real fruit. Now, what is that fruit? Well, the best answer, I think, is to begin with Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Right before the fruit of the Spirit, you have the passions and desires, which are fighting, evil, adulteries, fornications, all of those things, arguments, dissensions, covetousness, that's all there. And then the fruit of the Spirit is given as a contrast. And the picture is that when fruit is growing, there's a continual putting away of the old ways. And then the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow. And there's a love, and a joy, and a peace, and a patience that begins to grow. Luke 8, verse 15, they keep the word and they bear fruit with patience. Patience on this earth is especially important, isn't it? as we go through difficult times, as the thorns come and the thistles come, and then there's the tribulations or the persecution. To have a humble, trusting patience in the Lord. That's a fruit that people can see. And by their fruits you shall know them. The Lord Jesus says, we will know people by their fruits. We will begin to see this growth. Well, here is this picture, this very helpful parable, by the way, that helps us interpret other parables. Because here you have the inside track, the explanation. The Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples what's happening to them, even. He's teaching them about themselves. Teaches you about you, if you think about it. There was one sitting here, Judas, who the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things would enter in and choke the word. It would become unfruitful. There were others who would go up and down, Peter, Thomas, and others, who would wax and wane in their faith, but in the end would bear much fruit and would grow in grace. And so a parable like this, it reveals us, and you need to think about it. Has the word of God been entering into your heart with some depth? Are you one of the ones who hears the word and accepts it and who has ears to hear? You know, there's a picture that those who have ears to hear, they put some effort in. They become disciples. Literally, a disciple is a student of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're gathered in around him. They're getting these explanations. And the call to you is to do the same. Don't expect that you'll immediately understand every sermon perfectly, or every passage of the Word of God perfectly, that this will just come easily. No, in fact, these people were being called to be hearers and listeners, and that the Word of God would go deeply. And so when you hear a parable like this, meditate on it. Think about it. Talk about it. Talk with your family. What are some things that can be like birds of the air that take away the word? What are some things that can distract us? What are some hard times? And what happens in hard times? Do you grow deeper roots into the word of God? Or do you begin to wither? Maybe it may seem for a time like you wither, but the call is to go back to the word of God and to be serious about the word of God. And the hope of this parable, of course, is that the sower sows the word. Today is the day of salvation. The word is still going out. It's going out to you right now. And the call is, pray for ears to hear. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Think on the word of the Lord. And flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and be his disciple. Amen.